If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So today I decided to do our show a little bit different because I wanted to interview someone who's a friend of mine. I find her story fascinating. I think she's really interesting. And I wanted to bring her to the show because, you know, I think that when you look at someone like her, she is misunderstood. You look at this beautiful, talented, chic woman on Instagram. And that's what this episode to me really is about. Someone that you have no idea who they maybe on a social media site, and you think they have it so easy, but they have lived a life and they have a story to tell. And so that's why I wanted to interview my friend, Margaret Luce. She is a mother. She's an entrepreneur. She's an actress. She's a model. Margaret is also the publisher of Wellington Magazine and the managing editor of Vivant. She's lived a lot of lives and had a lot of interesting stories. And I just kind of wanted to change pace today and have a conversation with somebody that I truly admire. So please sit back, enjoy my conversation with my friend, Margaret. Recently, I've been exploring holistic ways to support my health. I've discovered something that's truly made a difference: Holistic Goddess's Bison Trifecta. This supplement, made from freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney, is delivered in convenient capsules. Since adding Bison Trifecta to my daily routine, I've noticed a significant boost in my energy levels and mental clarity. It's been a game changer in managing my busy schedule and combating that midday slump that many of us experience, especially during perimenopause and menopause. Guys, if you're having a hard time figuring out what kind of vitamins and supplements you should be taking, I'm telling you from personal experience, you really should try this Bison Trifecta. You feel the results in days, like tangible results. Also, perimenopause and menopause can bring a host of challenges: hot flashes, mood swings, and fatigue, just to name a few. Bison Trifecta helps address these issues with its comprehensive support. The collagen and vitamins in bison liver promote skin elasticity and hormone balance, helping to ease some of the physical symptoms. Bison heart provides vital nutrients that boost energy and mental clarity, combating the fatigue often experienced during this transition. And bison kidney supports overall vitality and immune health, crucial as our bodies undergo hormonal changes. But it's not just about energy. What I love is it's made with clean, pure ingredients and contains no unnecessary additives or fillers. If you're facing similar challenges, I highly recommend giving Bison Trifecta a try. It's been a valuable addition to my wellness routine, and it might be just what you need. For more info, visit holisticgoddess.com and see if Bison Trifecta would be the right fit for you. And by using my code, you get 15% off. So go to holisticgoddess.com and find the Bison Trifecta and use code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. Let me know what you think about it, guys. I know you're going to love it.
Give me a
Margaret, it is such an honor to have you here in person in Boca.
Thank you. An honor. An honor is mine.
It's been a long time coming. I've wanted to have you on the show for a long time. I think your story is very interesting and inspirational to people. I think that people would take one look at you, if people that are listening and not watching on Rumble or YouTube, and would see this woman who's beautiful and looks happy and elegant all the time, but not know kind of what it took to get there. And people just assume everyone's life is easy and carefree. And that's just not the case. I think if your life is that, you've created that for yourself. So I wanted to have a conversation with you about how you are in the place that you are in your life. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So for people that don't know you, can you give a little bit of background into your childhood, where you're from, your family, that kind of thing?
Okay. Well, I had a lovely childhood. I grew up in Westport, Connecticut with Irish parents. Both of my parents were born and raised in Ireland, and they met in New York and married. My dad was a marathon runner. My mom was doing many different things. She loved, you know, building stone walls and gardening, and it was sort of idyllic and very musical. My childhood was quite musical. My mother was a fiddle player, and my dad loved country and Western, and we really had an idyllic childhood. And by the way, it was really nice growing up in Westport because it was an hour to New York on the train.
Yes.
As you know, yeah. I love my New York.
I had a country home in Wilton.
Oh, my gosh.
Right near there.
So we could have known each other.
Yes.
And
yes.
The girls from Wilton would come to Westport, and the girls from Westport would go to Wilton,
right,
and Monroe. And I used to horseback ride in Monroe, actually.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, it was quite idyllic and lovely. And it gave me the opportunity to go into New York, you know, after school, and act and model and do all of that stuff that I just love.
So how did you get into, your loves are modeling, acting, and horses, right? So what came first?
Well, you know, what came first was I was discovered. I was discovered walking down the street.
Oh, wow.
I did some local modeling and I thought it was amazing. I was working at a consignment store after school, making like, I don't know, what did you make back then? $10, $12 an hour. And Susan Shields discovered me, and then we started to do some photos.
Was this in Westport?
In Westport. Okay. It was a beautiful store. It was very similar to like Valentino Designs, you know? And
wait, but explain that conversation. How did she come up to you?
So I got off the maxi taxi bus, which is what I would take from school to go to my little consignment job. Yeah. And they walked up to me on the street and said, you know, would you come in the store? Scott Shields would love to see you. And we'd love to have you model. And I thought, okay, great. And then it was just amazing because they offered me $50. I was like, well, that beats the consignment store.
Right. Well, wait, had you thought about modeling before? Had anybody ever told you?
You know, everybody had told me that I should, and all the relatives would call. And do you remember the movie when Pretty Baby came out and Brooke Shields kind of became a little bit of a thing? Mm-hmm. I had a little bit of her look, you know, which all the girls, like, you have the brows too. It's like we're always compared to her, I think. And so, yes, it was always on the forefront, but it was really something that I wasn't going to pursue on myself. I just didn't have the ego in that. And I just thought that was like a whole nother world.
Right.
And my mom, of course, just it wasn't. But it was really also through acting. I did not like the high school acting program. And because I was never cast in anything. This one girl got every role. And they were mostly musicals. And I like the dramatic acting more.
Yeah.
At any rate, so I went to HB Studios.
Wait, do you not have as good of a singing voice as you are as good of an actress? Is that what you mean by that?
You know, I've been told that I can sing. I just don't enjoy it. Yeah. I like to sing. I actually have trained, and I was training with an opera teacher as of recently, believe it or not.
Wow.
Which is so good for the lungs.
Yeah.
It's so good to exercise the lungs. No, it's just something that I do for fun. I don't know. I was inspired, though, seeing Katie, who's the daughter of Goldie Hawn?
Kate
Hudson.
Hudson, yeah.
Yeah, and she was belting out some songs at Montauk the other night, and I was like, that girl
can sing. She just came out with an album. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you know,
everybody,
probably a fantasy of mine to be a little rock and roll star, but
yeah,
didn't get there.
A lot of people's, I think. It's funny, when I was younger, when I was in eighth grade, I was such a good singer. I was known as like the best singer in my school.
I
can't
love
sing
it
anymore. I don't think I think it's weird that our voice boxes change as we get older. It's not like I was a big smoker or anything.
Right.
But but I couldn't act, like I was telling you before. So I think that, you know, it got me the lead role in my eighth grade musical.
Nice.
But beyond that, you know, I thought I was going to be the next Madonna. And little did I know that, you know, that was just a fantasy, you know. But anyway, so go on.
So that really led me to, and then my friend introduced me to the Ford Modeling Agency. And they signed me. And, you know, after high school, they gave me the choice of going to Australia or Spain. And my mother always had this strong inclination to go to Spain because we're Irish, but I'm darker. Mm-hmm. And there was that Moor streak that went through Ireland. So it's called the Black Irish. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose Spain and I figured, well, it's 8 hours away instead of like 20, right? Australia. And I went over, and from the moment I landed, it was magical. It was truly magical, my experience. It was really great. And
in what way?
In a way that I was just accepted immediately. I started booking. I started working. And I loved it. I really, really loved it. And I actually...
How old were you?
I was 17.
Okay. So were you scared to be away from home, and or did you just
fall into it? I really wasn't, because, you know, I was in the city at a very young age. I was in the city. I was going to clubs. I was out and about. And I had like 5 amazing male friends. They were all gay and they're very successful today. Mm-hmm. Some of them are famous photographers. David LaChapelle was one of them. Mm-hmm. And they would just dress me up and go out. So I was really used to being out and about. And I was also really careful. I honestly think cell phones are the worst thing, because we were just so much more aware back then.
Yeah.
I think they've just given our kids like this kind of... I don't know. There's just, they're not like on it.
Right.
You know, they don't have to retain knowledge because they're like, oh, I'll look it up on the phone.
Right. Da, exactly. Da, da.
So I was used to doing that at a very young age and taking the train home at night. And as you know, Manhattan has changed and morphed over the years also. So there were certain parts of the, you know, New York that were kind of scary. Yeah. And most of the castings were in those scary parts. So No, I was really confident with traveling and I just loved it. And I loved being over there. And I really was always a little mature from my years, I have to say.
Yeah.
I did not partake too much in the high school parties and things like that because, I don't know, I was like out clubbing in New York and having fun.
So I have a question though, because I've had a few people on that became, you know, famous models and that were actresses. And even actors, come to think of it, who really fell into horrible, fears about not fitting in, drug addictions,
right,
trying to keep their weight down, felt really terrible about themselves, were, you know, sexually abused by people that work with them. Did you find it to be like that at all? Did you see that in that industry?
No, fortunately I didn't. And I, you know, maybe it was because I was, you know, had the Ford moniker behind me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I was an athlete also. So I was like cross-country champion in Connecticut cross-country. So I was always really athletic. The dieting end of it really didn't affect me too much. Mm-hmm. I think genetically I'm predisposed to being okay. Right. I mean, doing couture, that's another level. That's dropping that extra even when you're really tiny.
Yeah.
Getting down really, really tiny. So the fun part when Cindy and all those girls came out, the American girls, they really made it cool to be a normal size.
Right.
You know, which normal size was still a 4, but it wasn't a 0 as it was, you know, in European couture. And you know how it's changed, like Yves Saint Laurent girls. And so, no, and fortunately, drugs never, I really didn't partake in it much at all. When I say much, I didn't partake in it at all.
Yeah.
Really, I didn't. And I didn't drink. I actually drank champagne in Spain because it was like $1.
Right.
I mean, I went to the grocery store in Horta, which was this Catalonian village, and I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, it's like $1 for champagne, and it was probably like apple cider or something. So, you know, no, I didn't. Actually, I have more fun at this point in my life than ever.
Right.
You know, so.
So also talk about your love of horses. Where did that start?
So I think it's really just being Irish. I've always had great taste in picking winners. Mm-hmm. And I loved horses growing up, and then I got away from it, you know. But I've always loved to, it's really lovely to know how to ride so that when you're visiting people, mm-hmm. and especially over in Europe, they love to ride. And then I got away from it for a long time. And interestingly enough, when my brother passed away, his friends contacted me, and a really close friend really wanted me to go out to Wellington. And he said, there's this horse that I really need you to see. And it's from an Irish bloodline. And he just knew that it would help me. He was really, really close with my brother. And it did, because I think when something like that happens, I don't know, I'm not good at grieving with people and talking about it. I just sort of went into my own little space And I met Mark Alter, and we, got involved in Meadowvale Cruising, and he's my partner in that horse, and it's so much fun. I have to say, it's really lovely. And so I spent a lot of time out there just going out to Wellington every day, and, you know, that sort of took its time and healing, and I just love being around animals.
People
I love
say
it.
That horses are a very healing animal, and obviously in a different way, they're a healing animal for people that are really struggling with things.
Yeah.
They bring them into prisons now. They bring them into, and they do all sorts of stuff with people.
We're finally evolving.
Yeah, that are in rehabs or whatever it is.
We all want to feel healthy and energetic, but most of us are running on fumes. And exercising and eating right just becomes another thing on our to-do list. And I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be hard. Look, most of us aren't trying to become Olympians, but who doesn't want to feel strong, healthy, and end the day with some energy left in the tank? But that's not happening without good nutrition. That's why I take Field of Greens. It's whole, organic fruits and vegetables, no extracts, no lab-made stuff. Just one scoop a day gives you simple, real nutrition. It also feeds your body with fruits and vegetables medically chosen to support your heart, vital organs, and immune system. And if you're anything like me, I don't like to drink water. I don't like the taste. I feel like it's bland. I don't drink a lot of water. So Field of Greens has really helped me get my hydration to a different level than I've had in a long time. So I love the berry flavor. That's my most favorite thing. And now I actually have the collagen powder and I add the two together. It is so good. I love it. I don't taste that grainy feeling that you get in your mouth sometimes when you have a lot of these powdered drinks. I have steady energy throughout the day. I have no afternoon crashes. I get better sleep and even my stomach feels better. But I'm telling you, I take this 3 times a day and I'm feeling so much better. I'm not kidding you guys. So Field of Greens is my go-to for getting the nutrients I need, even on those bad eating days. I'm sure you'll love Field of Greens, but if you don't, you can return it for a full refund. I got you guys 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code UNDERSTOOD. That's promo code UNDERSTOOD at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, 15% off your first order. Use promo code UNDERSTOOD. Hey, Misunderstood listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the ever-fabulous, ever-iconic Jennifer Aniston. I'm kind of known for my hair, okay? And so obviously, I take great lengths to make sure I love the products that are in it. That's why I'm here to tell you about LolaVie. It is some of the best shampoos, detanglers, sprays, oils that I've ever used. Let me tell you what my favorite products are. So I get the restorative conditioner, the intensive conditioning treatment, which I use once a week. I put it on my hair for about 10 minutes, and the shampoo. Those are the only things I use in my hair, and I absolutely love them. When I get out of the shower, I use the detangling spray. I love the smell. I think it totally works. And also it really helps me with my hair frizz because I've noticed that when I don't use it, I get a lot more frizz than when I do. And it does something with the humidity. I absolutely love it. I don't know if it's made for that, but it works on me. Those are the things I personally think you should try. So try LolaVie today. Get 15% off with the code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. So again, that's LolaVie.com. Get 15% off with the code UNDERSTOOD.
Let's talk a little bit about the grief that you have been through, if you don't mind for a second. Talk about losing your brother.
People don't talk about losing a sibling as you just never think about it until it really happens to you. And you're like, whoa, this is so much more important because you're actually losing somebody that has your DNA. There's only a few of you, if you're lucky enough to have a blood brother and sister.
And people who have experienced your childhood. In a way
your stories and the madness of your family, and there's no explaining it. You know what I mean? You just, and we did grow up in a really funny, kind of eccentric Irish family in that sense. And losing him was really a tough part because
how old were you guys?
Well, it was recently, actually. So, it was kind of recently. So the horse thing is back, and that's where, the magazine came about after that. But I really lost him now. Martin is gone 6 years. 7 years, maybe more.
So later.
Maybe more,
Were you guys close? Life.
We were very close.
Yeah.
We were really, really close. And he was really smart and he was really funny. And I think like losing your little sidekick, because I've always been very social, but I always say I don't land long. I'm a little bit of a butterfly. I pop in, I pop out. I have many, many friends, but I have few that I'm really super close to. And, when you lose a sibling, that's one of them goes.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's very difficult.
And he struggled. He struggled in life. And but you would never know it because he was always giving and so kind to others and good looking and funny and like, you know, you're Irish boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that concept that you just said about like being a butterfly, popping in, popping out. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would resonate with a lot of people. Do you think you do that as a mechanism to protect yourself a little bit? Or do you think that's just your nature that you like to do a bunch of different things and you don't need to be in one place for too long?
You know, that's a really good question. That's a good question. I have to think about it. I think that I like to kind of spread a little joy when I go. Like, I love to support friends and I'll show up, I'll pop in, but it's not necessarily like I want to do the mundane, you know, and season gets a little much, right? So this season I was out a lot and I think it was with the launch of the magazine and I tended to be out a lot to the point where I was almost like, I don't know, I just, it's a little too much. And then it's like, you know, the sip and see and the champagne and the nonsense. A lot of it is really fake.
Yeah.
Right. Like a lot of it is great, but a lot of it is also really fake. And I just like those real moments. And there's a few really good friends, like a friend of mine, Christian, and I became very close because we were sort of social friends. And then we went skiing together and we really spent quality time together. And that's what I really like.
Yeah.
You know, when you and I've met and had like a little chat here and there, it's like, I just love those real moments in life.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all we have. You know,
absolutely. I mean, I think we talked about it the other night over drinks, but in my perspective, it's like you see all these people all over and you think you know something about them. But I think until you have like a vulnerable moment with them where you kind of understand them a little more or you know, there's something that you can connect on.
Yeah.
That's when you can have a little bit more of a lasting or deep, meaningful friendship. Because in my opinion, I think you're very social and I have a hard time being social because I feel like for me, it's been hard to feel understood by people, hence why I have a show like this. And so I think for me, I've prevented myself from popping in. And it's actually, I love that you said that you do that because I think more, I need to be more light about my presence and I should pop in more and try different people out, try different things. And I think that that's probably missing in my life where obviously there are people that pop in way too much and they're too social and they don't do anything substantial. And I think that can affect someone's life too. But
yeah, and I was thinking about it because it's such an interesting title for your show, Misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And I like it. And I think we all have, you know, I asked my trainer the other day, he was asking me something personal. I said, I've known him for over 15 years. My trainers probably know me best. I have two. Mm-hmm. And it's my treat to myself because I love it. I just love working out as I know you do. And I said, what do you think people think of me? And he said, you know, people say lovely things about you. He said that you're a very social person, but you're also very private. Like I think I'm out there, but very few people really know me.
Right.
Because I'm kind of like also a bit of a nerdy geek in that regard. I'm not as cool as things might
seem. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I think everyone feels misunderstood or on purpose, they want to be a little bit more private or mysterious.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you then, what do you think is misunderstood about you? If anything.
You know, if anything, I think sometimes may take things like Instagram. You know, I tend to be joyful. I tend to look at the glass full. If I'm not feeling well, and that's hence disappearing and going to Wellington every day, you know, for a few years, it's, I really like to spread a lot of joy where I go. I most often, some of my funniest posts are like when I felt like crying. You know, I think sometimes when I'm kind of trying to exude joy, it's maybe at my saddest moment. And I've had plenty of those, but I just choose that rather than being repetitive, talking about something maybe that's not going to change. And I think as women, we've learned that, right?
Yeah.
And you have to have your close confidants and you have to have your people that you really trust. Because I know, especially for you, you're a beautiful woman. And, you know, we've both had experiences where that can be also negative, right?
Yeah.
They're not, some people just aren't kind. So I think to have those close confidants are really important. And
just
people you can trust. But I would say that, maybe looking at somebody's life and saying, oh, they have it so easy. And, you know, look at them bouncing here and bouncing there. And of course, it looks fun. You know, it's supposed to. It's Instagram. I mean, I don't want to make people cry. there's a lot of people that do, and there's a reason for it. You know, it's perfect. They help with addiction. They help. But I try to inspire. I try to inspire. And I think even just a continuation of a career is inspiring enough and evolve and change.
And that's actually what I want to get to, because I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have figured out a way to have a second act of your life. Yeah. So before we talk about that, just talk a little bit about, you know, the arc of your life in terms of work, what you chose to do. You got married, you had, you know, kids. So like, just talk about that a little bit, and then we'll get into the transition of how you decided to sort of change all that and focus on you.
Right. You know, I think I've always been going. I've always been investing in things. I've created some brands. I came up with a CBD gum a few years ago that did very well. It was great. That was great fun. So when I came down here, it was different, right? I didn't have a theater outlet. And I think culturally, it's wonderful. But regardless, Florida is a very retiring mentality. And even young people are old here. I find like, oh my God, get some juju going, like pump it up. What's going on?
Yeah.
And so that was a little challenging for me. But I decided, okay, it's my spa. It's my beautiful life. The kids are happy. We're swimming. We're paddleboarding. Mm-hmm. They have a great school. We're not fighting and slugging it out in New York.
Right.
But I did. You know, I really did miss New York. I missed the intellectual stimulation. Mm-hmm. And so then I found a fun little theater group that I joined here. So I've always been self kind of medicating in that way, you know, with finding things that serve a purpose. I got very involved early on, sort of like my first year here, in some philanthropic endeavors that I really loved. And I'm also the type of person, it's easy for me to do the hard things. I'm not the best maybe at showing up with flowers or remembering birthdays, but you need triage. I'm there. I'm the girl to call. You need to survive. I'm the girl to call. Right. You need to get a plane out of, I'll find it. Like I'm very much that girl. Resourceful in that regard.
Yeah.
So I got involved in Fernhouse actually, and that was really wonderful.
How old were you when you got married?
Oh God.
Did you have a big wedding?
We had a small wedding. We had a small wedding in Washington, and then we had a lovely dinner party in the Ritz in Washington.
Yeah. And I'm curious just about your friendship circles. Was it totally different now than it is then? Like, has your life totally evolved for different friends, different locations?
So when I came...
And I know you moved here with him, right?
Yeah, we moved together. We moved married, and he was working down here and then had the family. And then it was really a lot of back and forth to New York until it wasn't, right? Okay. And then I think that became just a, you know, business decision, really. And then I would continue to go back and forth, but for work, because I was still working in the commercial field. And then I had signed with Wilhelmina Models at that time in Miami. So I still had a career, but it was different. Right. You and I both know, you know, New York and California are different than Miami. And it's also evolved. It's gotten better. Mm-hmm. But I really was still involved in that, but not on the major level that I was before. Sure. So, you know, your earning goes down, your maybe some of your dreams and desires go down. But I thought, no, there'll be a chance. I'll do something else. And I'm always very proactive in that.
Yeah.
In that way. So.
And how did you find motherhood?
I loved it. I really had a ball. You know, it's funny. My mom told me that you have them till they get on the school bus. And I really always thought about that. And I think about it today because it's true. As you know, with Wyatt, like till they're six, right? Mm-hmm. They're yours. And it's amazing. And you're singing and dancing. And we had a little fun, goofy life, climbing trees and doing all those fun things. And I really enjoy them. I actually love being around kids. They're great. But once they get on the bus, it's like, you know, it's more and more, you know, they're involved there and they're on their thing. And now Conrad is a freshman.
Habits.
Yeah.
Ways.
And Conrad's a freshman at Notre Dame. And Claire, my daughter, is at Oxford and she is a golfer. Mm-hmm. So she's 17. And, you know, you just see it going. And it's how I was, right? I mean, I was on the train going to New York. And my mom was really amazing with me because she would always say, and she still says it, please tell me you're on the way to do something fun.
Oh.
Please tell me you're on your way to do this and travel and go. Right. So she really pushed me to live and trusted me. And I think that's really important too.
So throughout this whole time, you've modeled off and on. It sounds like you've been a parent, you've been a wife. And now you are, what, a year away from being a complete empty nester?
Because Claire will be a senior this year.
Yeah. So, and now you have all these kind of new careers. So I want to talk about that a little because I think from my experience and my opinion on watching a lot of my friends, when you get to be a certain age or you've done a couple things with marriage, with kids, with, you know, career, and it kind of changes as you get older, you kind of lose a sense of, well, now what am I going to do in the second half of my life, in the second act of my life, whatever you want to call it. And it gets confusing to people. And some people are, you know, strictly parents, right? And then after they leave, it becomes really depressing for them because they don't know who they are without the kids. You know, depending on what kind of relationship they're in, if that's working, if it's not working, sometimes they've really lost themselves in a relationship. And then sometimes when a job ends, they really have lost their sense of identity. So I want to talk about for you how you came up with the idea of getting involved in this, you know, publishing and magazine editing and all this stuff, because I feel like that's taken you on a new trajectory where you have your own independence, even though it's obvious you've been independent, so to speak, your whole life.
Right.
This has taken you in a new level where you found a new career, so to speak, later in life.
And a creative passion, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not acting as much as I'd like to. So, but I have these creative juices inside of me that I needed to put out somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I do love to work. I love a purpose behind things. So I started with a fun column called If You Haven't, You Should. And I started writing with a friend that has a magazine, Metropolitan. I said, hey, let me just start with this column. I think it could be fun. If You Haven't, You Should. Very like, you know, based on Dr. Seuss. And I have a real adventurous side. Like I skied with an Olympian in one of my articles, and I learned how to race Ducatis. And
so you would take an idea, you'd go do it, and then you'd write about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Oh, I love
and
that.
So, like, and so it's quick
kind of
and it's brief.
That?
Well, and it can be anything like racing Ducatis, skiing downhill with an Olympian skier, even just personal things, hiking, you know, going on a journey on your own. This last column, you know, I had emergency.
Learning how to ride a horse.
Yeah. And learning how to, you know, and also maybe doing something. I know I wrote something special for Mother's Day, and it was around when the Ukraine war started. And it was like, so it felt so silly to write about something like, oh, go here and get a spa treatment. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I really felt deeply moved with mothers and really what mothers go through. And can you imagine? You know, there was a photo of a young man, he was 15, and his mother was shot right in front of him. So there's those realities in life, too, that we can be very fantasy, but it's also really important to acknowledge that, how blessed we truly are.
Would you do an article, too, about if you haven't, you should learn to forgive? Or can it be something not tangible like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've always said prepared. Okay, well, then you know what? I'll dedicate it to you.
Thank you.
I think
that's a really hard one.
Learning to forgive is a lot, right? But we're doing ourselves the best favor. We really are. And it's painful. And, you know, I think in this world of social swirl and gossip, that's probably what I find the most exhausting, to be quite frank, because I think it's the way that people connect sometimes. And there's a surge that goes through my body that I can physically feel. And I don't like it. You know, I really don't like it because I really don't judge people. I've always been a little like, I don't know, I was raised very Catholic too. And I just try my best. Like I said, you know, they may see me walking into the room thinking, oh God, doesn't she think she's so hot? Like she's this, she's that, or I've heard this about her. And meanwhile, maybe I'm having a really painful day and maybe something happened to me. My dad died, or, you know, like you've gone through that, you know. So I think, what was the question?
Well, we were talking about if you did an article about
forgiveness. What would it look like?
Or what would be cool is if, I mean, you're writing it, but maybe as a tangible thing, you had to write an email to someone that you hadn't forgiven from your childhood or something. I mean, you know, something really interesting that's different than necessarily
skiing. You know, I've got to say, it's going to sound crazy, but I have been so good with that lately. And I think really, I almost look at it as a favor. So forgiving somebody is easy for me now. And especially after my brother passed, I mean, you just don't waste any time on nonsense because you just think about, like, I just always think about him going, hey, come on, sis, that's ridiculous, you know, patting me and just running off and surfing. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I've had hurtful things happen. I had something recently happened that was really hurtful and I didn't understand it at all. But then I thought, you know what? It's just, I'm not close enough with that person and the relationship didn't mean that much to me.
Right.
To
care.
Dig deep. And I kind of looked at it as a gift because you know what? I'm kind of cool. I've got some great fairy dust to spread. And listen, you're lost.
Right.
You know, and I think as we get older, we realize the time, right? And then we see our kids. And I also just really believe in karma. I just think since I've had children, I try to do good things and I just try to keep a lot of those little dark things away from me because I just don't want it affecting my life. And I can feel it. Sometimes I can feel it. I don't know if you can feel it.
Yeah, no.
When somebody has it out for you.
So how often do you come out with that column?
So we are doing, we were doing 7 issues a year. We're going to go down to 4 now, which I think is great because our content is real. Vivant. Okay. And then Wellington, we're up to 2 right now because we just had our launch this season.
Let's start with Vivant for a second. What is the
VivantMagazine.com. Mm-hmm.
And what is the brand, so to speak? Like, what is it all about?
It's luxury lifestyle.
Okay.
Yeah, it's luxury lifestyle. So and it was under the moniker of Lux, and okay. we changed it because also Lux is just overused. And it's
fashion, it's real estate.
Luxury lifestyle. Anything. Yeah, luxury okay. lifestyle. And I think actually, when you read it, I think, you know, the highest compliment that I'm paid is that people really read it. Mm. And they're surprised. Like, they're really surprised when they read it. They said, oh, I can't believe I like read every article and I really enjoyed it. Right. So we try to keep it interesting and fresh.
And you're the managing editor.
Managing editor of Vivant and partner on Wellington.
And how
Lux
do you
Wellington.
Pick the articles that are in there?
You know, it's sort of keeping up with the trends and being ahead of the trends a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, we did this great space article. I love the tech world. I'm personally invested in quite a bit of AI. Mm-hmm. I love to, speak about things that really matter, that resonate. And it's not just like a pay to play. You know, I think a lot of these magazines are boring because it's ad, and it's a yeah. lot of pay to play. And that's kind of boring. So we try to keep it fresh, and I'm having fun. So you really inspired me though with that.
Yeah,
I think about this forgiveness thing.
Even if you're doing well with it, I don't think many people are.
No.
And I think that's what makes people
I didn't do well with it.
Yeah.
But I learned how to do well with it. Right?
That's why
And it is. And it's something that it can eat at you. And I just remember thinking of lungs. And, you know, when you get into like medicine and yoga and breath work and you're really taking care of yourself, then you go tox yourself up again. And it's not necessarily like with Chardonnay. It's with toxic people and feelings and things that are really hard to release, but look, it's really hard to be hurt. It's right. painful.
So what suggestions would you give to people who are trying to get out of being stuck, whether it's forgiving, whether it's being in a bad relationship, whether they can't figure out what their next career is, people who are looking for their purpose and cannot find it? What would be some steps you would suggest for them?
You know what? Movement is really important to me. And I notice quite a few people that are stuck. It's because they're stuck. They're sitting, they're lying, they're complaining, they're talking to the same person over and over again. For me, I would really try to shake it off. And I think athletics, swimming, something, you know, when my brother passed, I got into swimming, like really heavy, and I learned how to breathe again. And singing. Singing really helped me with that. Because I think grief just suppresses it in your lungs and you're not breathing fully and all of that. But I think movement is one of the most important things that you can do. And also, try to refrain from talking about it. You and I, I'm sure, have friends that kind of bring up the same thing over and over again. And it's the negative Nancy stuff, right? And your friends will care for a certain point, you know, but then they're going to say it's like addiction, right? It's a form of addiction.
It's so funny that you're bringing this up. So I just interviewed an old friend of mine recently on the show. His name is George Perez, and he wrote a book called Shut the Fuck Up.
The guy that has the blog?
No, that's Perez Hilton.
Oh, okay.
But this is a guy named George Perez. He's based in L.A. He is, you know, a sort of a celebrity life coach. Okay. He wrote this great book about to stop complaining, basically, to shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
but part of that was to, like, if you're going to pick one friend to tell something to, pick the person, you know, talk about it once. Mm-hmm. Do not continue to talk about it because it festers. And then, by the way, no one wants to hear about it. Like, you know, they'll want to hear it because it's kind of gossipy for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But like after that conversation, no one wants to hear about a divorce. They don't want to hear about a breakup. They don't want to hear about all this negative stuff because it's like they expect that that's what you're going to talk about every time you're with them. And I definitely have friends like that, you know, that are always trying to talk about something. And you just don't want to hear it anymore.
We have a mutual friend.
Yeah.
It's really funny because I spoke to a really good girlfriend of mine, Jill, this morning, and she's so sweet. But and we were talking about the podcast, and it was kind of cool. And she said, well, what is misunderstood? And I said, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to think of. Like, you know, and she said, well, you know what? I wouldn't have spoken as much. She went through a divorce that was really a little on the brutal side.
Yeah.
And she said she shared way too much.
Right.
And over and over and over again, and even to her children. So, you know, think it's really good to also, but shake people up a little bit. And sometimes I'm a little hard on friends. I have some friends that are so blessed, you know, they're shopping at Saks, they're doing their thing, and then they're still complaining because they didn't get the size ring that they wanted. That's right. A really hard conversation for me.
Yeah.
Because first of all, I'm at the point in my life where I don't want stuff. I don't care about stuff. I've got stuff. I got good stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like there's that point that you get to where you just don't, it's life is more than stuff.
Yeah.
So you're looking at this and then you're complaining that you didn't get the carrot you wanted. Like I'm not the girl to come to with that.
Right.
Come to the Fern House with me. You know, come see people that are really struggling. And I think that if you can get up off the sofa, I don't know, do some jumping jacks, get in the pool, do yoga. Don't talk to anybody. Really think about it. What got you into this mess? If you need medication, whatever it is, speak to a professional. And then if that doesn't work, you know, I don't know. But there are some people that are really in that perpetual life cycle. And then you just think about all the time that's passing by.
Oh, yeah. For
you know?
So, I know one of the things you've talked about and you do a lot is finding a cause or a charity that you believe in. Talk about some of the ones that you love.
So I have a very close connection with addiction. I think it was all my years in theater and acting that a lot of creatives are sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sensitive. I'm actually really sensitive. That disease did not affect me. Thank God. I was super blessed. But I've always found it easy to help people that have had it because I just view them as really sensitive human beings. And it's sort of like funny, you know, when you look at a homeless person on the street, it's 9 out of 10 times you're going to look into their eyes and there's something so painful there, but nobody looks at them.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like to go to those hard places. It's not hard for me. I actually rather enjoy it because I do the social set in Palm Beach and I go to pretty much all the events and I support my friends. But, you know, at a very young age, when I came down here, I mean, early on, not a young age, but, you know, early on down here when everybody was pretty old when I moved to Palm Beach, it was an older, it was prior to COVID. And, you know, it was just, it was an older retiring place. There were some amazing women that I met and that were so incredibly, Kathleen Walter Ross is one of them. And she was an advocate for the animals. She had one of the biggest houses around the corner from the Everglades Club. Mm-hmm. And she was an Irish actress from Kansas City, like a real dame. Mm-hmm. And she had that sticker on the veal. It said something about the caged veal. You know, she was just always just this badass. Mm-hmm. And she took me under her wing and really showed me the ropes. And I started working with CARP. I'm no longer on that board, but I am on the board of Fern House. So we're... It's really a recovery home for, we have 56 men, faith-based, very strict, 2 meetings a day, they get their meals there, and we just put in a beautiful kitchen.
Hmm.
So we're teaching them trade, which a lot of young guys today don't have anything to do, which is really a problem. Guys need to work, like guys need a purpose.
How do they get there?
They get there by, you know, basically it's also a nonprofit. So this is not, you know, your $60,000 expensive rehab. They get there because it's really the last resort. And then most often we get a lot of guys that are wearing ankle bracelets, which I love because a lot of them escape doing time for something that was really a very silly mistake that could ruin their life. And, you know, putting a young man in prison, it's just not the answer.
Right.
So they're there. They live there. Again, it's bare bones, but it's clean and very inexpensive.
Right.
So we're a nonprofit.
And how are you seeing their recidivism rate?
It's really low. It's really low because I think to that point, and I tell a lot of my friends that are wealthy and that could afford really great rehabs, sometimes it takes being next to a guy that never had parents, may have grown up being beaten, never had a car, you know, that sometimes you might want to send those kids that are more privileged there because they'll really be a little bit more grateful and then turn their life around and really help others too. Because you have to lift, you know, when you're good, you've got to turn around and help that other brother up or sister, you know?
It's interesting because I think for younger kids, a lot of them, they're younger and their parents are very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
The answer right now is to send them to these therapeutic outdoor wilderness program. So it's like a 21 day, you know, where
which you and I call the ashram.
Yes, exactly.
Hello.
But where you're being kidnapped in the middle of the night, taken away from your family, and you have to spend 21 days. But these are like, it's very expensive to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's throwing these kids who have been very privileged into the middle of the wilderness. They have to fend for themselves, figure out how to light a fire, put, you know, figure out how to get iodine in their water so that they could, you know, drink water. It's, and they usually learn a lesson of like, oh God, I'm not going to do this again. And sometimes obviously it doesn't work, but I think that is, has been the answer for a while. But yeah, you don't have a place that anyone could go and just kind of, you know, learn, see who's next to you.
There was a place called CARP and it was really where the police would take people under the influence. And I mean, Palm Beach people, you know, Lily Pulitzer girls to, yeah. you know, homeless people to people wow. living and having, you know, domestic violence issues. But there really wasn't a place to take them. You would take them to the hospital, right? They give them an IV, mm-hmm. they pat them out the door. And CARP doesn't function like that. We don't have the clinic anymore. But I'm not on that board anymore. But it was, at the time, a really remarkable place. So we need to really focus on that a little bit more in society. Mm-hmm. And rather than throwing people in jail, because, you know, the system is, it's funny, I'm very involved with the police department, but there's so many things that I disagree with, mm-hmm. with the way that they handle things. And I mean, one of the things is they let guys out of jail after midnight. It's the most ridiculous thing. So
what
you've
do you
got, mean? So sometimes you're released at 12:05. So they, you know, it's like the next day, but it's 12:05. So what is somebody going to do that has no cell phone, right. no money? They're going to go to Cumberland Farms and they're going to steal a beer,
yeah.
you know? So it's things like that, that are really backwards. So the more that we can fix
setting
that and
failure.
Fix this, I mean, this is fixable, mm-hmm. you know? And then the halfway house situation here, you know, you always get negativity on that. Oh, I don't want halfway houses near me. But, you know, I think that, we have to support really solid, good places.
Yeah. So, and finding, like I was asking you, finding a charity, finding a cause to
yeah.
get involved in that's
yeah.
not all about yourself is usually something
oh, yeah.
that is very important.
Yeah. And just, you know, spread some joy. I find just sometimes conversing and even on the side of the road, I don't know, like it's easy for me. It's easy for me. And I feel like it's, that's almost like what God wants you to do. It's
yeah.
just recognize a human being. Don't look away. Don't be disgusted and appalled. It could be you. Who knows?
You know what's like, interesting, though? I think that it's forgotten, especially in Palm Beach, where we live, yeah. basically, the community.
Well, that's not allowed on the island.
Yeah, well, right. But I'm saying it's filled with big black tie galas and, you know,
yeah.
all these different events with
right.
very rich people going mm-hmm. and supporting it. Mm-hmm. But you don't see the connection between that and the people they're helping usually. So that to me
and
is
see,
very
I really like to see that.
Yeah.
I like to see more of that. And again,
well,
I have wonderful.
You want to see where your money goes.
I want to see where my money goes. And I think there is a tremendous amount of that. And you're buying these tickets and everybody looks gorgeous and glamorous and they're getting like wasted.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, I'm like, okay, we're going to a benefit for homeless alcoholics
right.
and we're like getting wasted
right.
in Chanel. Like,
right.
not me. That's not my party. So, but you know, Mazels. There's unbelievably generous people on that island that have created institutions, and I love it. And Kathleen Walter Ross was one of them. She was unbelievable. I mean, her kindness was extraordinary. And then she would host like Yates parties. She would have all the players from the Yates Club in Niagara Falls come and stay with her. But she was a real dame, and that was a real class act. And I just think I prefer that. I like to see people hands-on. Kind of like, you know, when Lady Di kind of went out there in her khakis and walked in the minefields and held the first child with AIDS. Like, I mean, or like publicly. And you know what? People may say that was a stunt, but oh my God, it opened up the world to saying not being afraid.
Right.
Right? And we don't have to be afraid. Not every person's suffering. They're on the side of the street. They're not, you know, they don't have a machine gun.
Yeah. No,
so,
I love that concept. I think that's correct.
And it's just really looking at somebody. And I think when we do that more, even as humans,
feeling
right?
Known, seeing
feeling
somebody.
Known. Yeah. Like, I hear you and just have a good day. Go yeah. take, please go buy an apple with this
right.
dollar,
right.
you know?
I agree with that. So. I want to get your opinion as someone who is a spent a lot of their life being a model.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about beauty for a second.
Oh, goody.
Because I think
love
in
it.
This day and age, and especially having younger kids, right? They are so obsessed with what's going on TikTok or Instagram and beauty through social media.
Yeah.
And the smoke and mirrors of it. So
yeah.
After all these years being in the beauty industry, I'm curious, what do you think is beautiful?
I miss the palpable feeling when you see beauty. And sometimes it's not necessarily like, you know, look, a lot of models aren't incredibly extraordinary in person, right? You
mm-hmm.
and I know, like, it's not, I've had some friends that are models that are more editorial models, and it's not like you might look at them and there's almost something strange about them.
Yes.
And I love that. You know, Chrissy Turlington has two sized different eyes, right? My girlfriend Noemi had a nose job, not Noemi Campbell, but another Noemi in Spain, and she had this wonderful, sexy nose. It looks like a boxer's nose, but in her voice and everything, and she changed it and she looks so different. So I think what I love is that I think we're all starting to sort of look alike. I think everybody sort of wants to look alike in a weird way. You know, I mean, I definitely want my highlights to look like, but I try to keep myself as intact to who I was. And I can see that through my daughter. Like, I'm sure you see it through Wyatt. Like, it's kind of fun to see like a little bit of yourself in someone.
Yeah.
And you know, But listen, it's all up to you. I feel some people really, if it makes them happy to do it, it just, it's something that I'm really careful with because I kind of like the way I look.
Yeah.
I like me. Yeah. I like looking at my mom and seeing the resemblance and, you know.
Well, I like what you're saying there because I think, I mean, there was a whole time when people would bring in pictures of someone into a plastic surgeon and be like, I want to look like Angelina Jolie's lips. Of course. Or her jawline or whatever it was. And then to Kim Kardashian's body, and now everybody's changing their...
Which I can't, like, hello, what? I mean, why would... I mean, we all fought so long. I mean, well, hello.
Yeah,
like,
we all tried to get so skinny for so long, and now...
And now it's like, okay.
I'm glad that that's going out the door, but so I don't have to worry about being a flat-assed white girl or whatever.
Well, listen, you know, I mean, couture is all the way, baby. I'm more of that. Those Yves Saint Laurent rocker chick, that's my look. I'm not going that route.
But I think it's important what you said, to embrace your uniqueness and to realize like
because there's only one you
came with or a little bit of a different, you know, like an enhanced version of that is okay. But trying to look like something that's not you, I think is getting away from the standard of beauty.
Yeah.
And that has become the norm. So
it's become the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have friends that really have a skewed view of how they look and what they look like. And that's, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Body dysmorphia too, I think is a really big issue for people. I just had someone on the other day about mental health, and they saw in their line of work that body dysmorphia, especially in women, obviously, was such a tragic thing and sent people into a tailspin of addiction, of getting into bad relationships, of losing their sense of self because they didn't look like what they saw on social media. And it affected them because they weren't the norm, even though they could have been beautiful, you know?
Listen, Snapchat filters are an addiction. I saw myself. I was like, I want to look like that.
Right.
But, you know, you don't. And that's why I try not to do too much with my pictures because you're just setting out a false precedent, you know? And we can all look good. But no, it's interesting. The body dysmorphia, I have seen it. And I think people use the word hate too much. Like speaking about yourself in a negative tone, like, I hate this, or I hate you, I hate your legs, you have great legs. It's like, that kind of is like a weird thing to put out there. Mm-hmm. Like, don't hate me because of my, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, everybody has their little gift. But don't use that word.
Yeah.
I don't like it when people use that word against themselves or others, right? It's just weird.
I want to talk about your favorite brands because you are very stylish. So can you talk about some of the things you, I've noticed, are like a pants girl. You're not necessarily like a dress and heels girl. Am I
when
right
I wear a dress or a gown, it's definitely a moment, but it's not something that I do often.
Right.
I'm really, I'm a little bit of a rocker chick.
Yeah.
I'm a little rebel. I'm an AC/DC girl.
So,
what are the
favorite brands you
I love? Well, Alvin, you and I love our Alvin jeans. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. They give you a great butt. They help with our butt.
Yes.
And they're great. And he has some lovely jackets, too. I think it depends on where I am. When I'm in New York, I tend to dress up a little bit more. Here, it's a little more cottons, casual, light fabrics. But I love The Row. I love Yves Saint Laurent. I really am really into these ATM. Lifestyle So Chic is a store that I'm always at. You know that store.
Yeah.
And I just think it's really for where you are. Now, I have a great collection of coats. I'm a coat girl. So that's what killed me about not being in New York. So, you know,
being
I
in Florida,
really love
hot.
To wear simple clothes underneath, but you walk in with this smashing coat and you're done. So
you're even good with like a t-shirt and jeans and you're able
that's
to
my
dress
look.
That up.
I am, you know, and I just think, you know, putting on a nice pair of earrings and doing your thing. But I have to be comfortable. You know, when I was asked to start wearing clothes, and sometimes, you know, when somebody wants you to wear their dress and you borrow clothes, I don't like that. Yeah. I have a really great wardrobe. I also wear the same thing over and over again.
I like three
of these shirts. I do. And you know what? I'm not embarrassed by it. I've got a Tom Ford tuxedo, couture tuxedo. I love that look. But again, it's more of a mysterious European, I don't know, a little bondage. Like I like that little black, I like that little sexy black bra under a bondage. That was a strong word to use. What am I trying to say, Rachel? You know, under a white tuxedo shirt, like sexy, a little peek of it. But I'm also really a little, I don't know, I like wear bathing suits under things all the time. Like I want to be able to jump in the water. If I see the water, I'm kind of more active in that regard.
Oh, I love that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
and then talk about like your skin. Your skin is glowing. So
okay.
What do you use?
So, you know
like
what? I've had so many lovely people. I've been going to a facialist, Milena Segebre, most of my life down here. She's amazing and she's hardcore. It's not a pleasant, you know, spa facial. She will kick you and prick you and squeeze you. And then I'm loving Christine Monaco at Bespoke Aesthetics in West Palm. I've been doing these cool peels and they're like little baby Fraxels. And it's just enough to kind of like, you know, shock the skin. And
not be too painful.
And it's not painful at all, first of all. And then I'm really into exosomes and I'm really into functional medicine. So I love her
peels. Explain what that is, yeah.
So peptides are something, you know, that have been in the world for a long time, especially in the Soviet Union and all of that. Well, you know, they were ahead of their time athletic. I don't know if we say that. But I've been using the exosomes on my skin and hair for a while. Basically, it's the stems from the amniotic fluid of a healthy pregnancy. And they're tested and they're worked through. Now, it's not FDA approved at all, but I don't put them in I've done a few shots, actually. After COVID, I did do a shot and I felt fantastic. But I use them a lot on the skin and they've been working miracles with hair growth.
And your facialist is the one doing it?
No, so I get them on my own and I'll do, like, for example, if I do a microneedling, I'll put it on immediately after it soaks in. So after Christine does a cool peel, I put it on and literally my skin heals in 2 days.
Yeah.
So you're not looking at 5, 6, 7, 8 days. And I asked a friend, Candace Kickler, who's also a doctor, what she feels, because some people feel, no, you should go for that super deep peel. Mm. These are all things to stave off lifts, right? And all of that kind of stuff. Botox I don't do because, you know what? I'm in a sauna 4 days a week. Oh. And finally somebody said, you know, you sweat it out immediately. And I'm like, well, no wonder. I can't, you know, so I maybe do it once a year.
Why do you do sauna so much? Like, people love it.
It's the one thing that I should have invested in because I've been preaching this for 20 years, if not more. I mean, even after the babies, we were renovating the house and I moved the sauna into the dining room. We can't possibly process all of the toxins that we take into our system. I mean, we can't. We can't expel them. We can't work out enough. And we're inhaling so much. And I mean, I have to say, even in Florida with the pesticides and everything and the lawn care and the golf courses. So it's really the only way to clean the liver, I feel. And for me,
and
there's been proven studies. I mean, 20 minutes, you know, can add years to your life. So if you do it 4 or 5 times a week, I did one this morning. Around the blow dry, you know. So right before the blow dry, get in there and do my little blow dry. But it's been really beneficial to me. And I don't sweat a lot. So even when I run or work out, I don't really sweat a lot. But you'll see it rejuvenates you and it cleans you from the inside out.
And probably gives you a glow.
Yeah, a glow. So I have it's a little funny. I have a wooden sauna, which is a really lovely one upstairs. And I'm never in that because I have this little zip-up unit, which gets to 170 degrees. And it's just 20 minutes. And it's in the bathroom and it's one of those little, you know, things your arms can go out so you can do all your texting. I highly recommend it. It's
great. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Do you do cold plunges?
So I don't heat the pool and I find that enough of a cold plunge. I have done cryo and I love it. But I'm thinking of getting the cold tub to do it. And I do it when I go out to California. I go out to a trip to the ashram and I love it. The cryo rooms I'm not as into as I am a cold plunge, I think. I get a little claustrophobic in there.
Yeah, me too.
I remember the door closed and I'm like, can you practice opening this?
Yeah.
And then the guy was like, okay, but we have to stop. I'm like, I know, but I'm just a little okay, 1 minute.
Right.
And so,
I'm terrible with anything cold. Even though I'm from Anchorage, Alaska, you would think I'm fine with it. Cannot do anything cold. So my brother and his wife and kid, they went to Antarctica recently and they did a cold plunge there in the ocean, which was phenomenal. But what was interesting is they had to have ropes around their waist because they said the people doing it were like, you will somewhat pass out, but you're aware, but you go blank because you're that cold.
Jesus.
So I was like, why would you do that? That sounds crazy.
I know.
They said it was the greatest thing they've ever done.
So I really would love to implement that stuff in the Fern House also because, you know, right now when there's a budget, we have a gym in the in the parking lot, and I really want to work on that and the cold plunges because I think for depression, oh my God, I mean, that's amazing. It's incredible.
Right.
And it's anything to shock, but you know, growing up in an Irish household, my mother always gave us a cold rinse because she said it'll make the hair shiny, Margaret Mary. So, you know, I always had the cold rinse, but I know there's something to that, but I'm not as into it as I am the sauna.
Right. Okay. Well, good to know. All right. I want to end with your thoughts on where you're at now. You're clearly leading a life of purpose. Can you give any advice to our listeners of how they should start doing that if they are not on that path?
Wow. A life of purpose. Gosh,
I know that's a heavy question.
It's, well, you know, there's just so many ways to hit it, right? I mean, it depends on what people think their purpose is, mm-hmm. right? And some people are deeper than others, right? Some people are very happy. And I admire those people that also never have to go there and think about that stuff. They're like, do-de-do-de-do-de. And they go through life. They're like, oh, well, no, I didn't think about that. And it's like, God,
well,
that's
their purpose
amazing.
For the day might be picking apples or something, right?
Exactly.
So they don't need some bigger purpose.
Yeah. I need it to move forward. I really love to accomplish goals. I love to make people happy. I like to do good things. I think doing that and sharing a little bit of myself has been helpful to others, and it's also been really helpful to me. Mm. I don't know. That's a really tough question. I have to think about that.
Yeah.
Better.
All right. Well, where could people find your magazines? Where could they look you up if they want to kind of
follow you? I love Instagram. I'm a big Instagram girl. Margaret Bastic Luce. It's Margaret Bastic Luce. At Margaret Bastic Luce. Mm-hmm. And then vivantmagazine.com is where you can go on, hit the link and subscribe. And then we have, right, if you scroll down underneath that website, you'll see that Lux Wellington. So if you're a horsey person mm-hmm. and you want some luxury in Wellington, it's your magazine. It's great.
And I know this is a crazy mm-hmm. question, but I've seen you in some amazing outfits that are like riding outfits.
I know.
But you've made them into like fashion that you don't have to be riding, right?
Well, I'm from Connecticut. You know, I think that even when I went over to England, my brother and little sister were big Ralph Lauren models. Actually, they're blonde, blue eyed. Like they're a different beast. But I went over to England last time, and I was so excited because I wore the riding pants and the riding boots, and I didn't know if I was going to be riding. But I was like, I'm wearing.
So
them.
The only reason I say that is people should go on your Instagram for your style. I mean, they should really look that up because that's a very cool look. And are you going to the polo? Do you care about polo?
I love polo.
You do.
Actually, I'm going up to Southampton tomorrow. I'm going to spend a few weeks up there, and I'm going to do polo with my girlfriend, Dorian, who's also a writer in the magazine. She's fabulous. But I love polo out here. Oh, no, you know what's really cool is I did a story on Nick Roldan. And part of it is funny. And he's like, it was an article. It wasn't if you haven't, you should, but I should do it in if you haven't, you should. Anyways, he offered me polo lessons.
Amazing.
So, hello.
Well, there's a good one.
I mean, Nick Roldan, you want to come?
Yes.
You should come with me.
I'm not like great on a horse.
Listen, you don't need to be great on a horse. It's with Nick. Just come.
Right.
Wear riding outfits and look cute.
Okay, you could style me. That would be a fun.
But you know, sometimes doesn't that make you happy being a girly girl too? Like sometimes just putting on an outfit, putting your makeup on, going to the mall, like something, just getting out and just, you know, feeling yourself. It's so important.
Also, is there a digital version of these?
There is. We're really building that up. It's great. And I also have private clients clients that I consult with. So we have DJ Uki from Breakers. He's mm-hmm. the house DJ at HMF. He's great. And who else do we have? We have so many good people.
That you consult for?
They're consulting. And Fratellia Prea is a client of
mine.
For their business. Oh. Yeah. So that's something that I've also been doing for quite some time because I felt I was helping so many people with their brand and launch their brand. Why not turn it into a business? Because you get it all the time. Let me pick your brain. Yeah. Well, no, let me really help you.
Right.
And if I really believe in it, I get involved. So we have a media group too.
Awesome. So I think the lesson here for people listening is that you don't have to just, you know, follow a path your whole life. You can take all sorts of paths and, you know, be a well-rounded person and find a different path later in life. And it just, you know, it gives you a sense of purpose and helping people. And I hope this episode really, you know, gives some insight into who you are. Because I think if people are just looking at your Instagram, like I said at the beginning, I don't think they get any idea of where you've come from, what you've done. And I think that that's really important so people really get it and can appreciate the beauty that they see in front of them.
Oh, so, thank you, sister.
Thank you for joining me. And we will, you know, I'm going to be in the magazine. You guys are featuring the show and me. So we'll have to promote.
I need that gorgeous face, that Raquel Welch.
We're going to have to do that. We'll talk about it more with that episode as well.
Okay.
But thank you for joining me.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.